Thank you, Brother Tom. We appreciate the privilege to be back again tonight. And I'll ask you to turn, if you will, please, to the book of Job, chapter number 29. Job, chapter number 29. And grateful for Davin getting saved yesterday. And I'll tell you, he came in here with a frown on his face yesterday morning. He came in here with a smile on his face tonight. Amen. It'll change your countenance. It'll change your life. And it will change your all when you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I praise the Lord for His goodness and mercies to Him. Let's stand tonight. We'll reverence God's Word together. Looking in Job chapter number 29. And verse 1 it says, "Moreover, Job continued his parable and said, Oh, that I were as in the months past, as in the days when God preserved me, when His candle shined upon my head, and when by His light I walked through darkness." Lord, we thank You for the Word of God. We're grateful that it changes not. Lord, men change, societies change, fads come and they go. But we're grateful that Your Word is settled in heaven. Lord, is eternal. And we can look into it tonight and it can look into us. We ask You, dear Lord, to purge us and, Lord, clear our mind and heart from anything and be unlike You. Guide our meditations, and Lord, I pray that You'll feed the heart of those that are here tonight and those that listen by means of internet, by radio, whatever this message takes a way of getting out to people. We ask You to bless the Word in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'll look tonight at the threefold testimony of Job. The threefold testimony of Job. And I want to start in the middle of the book in verse number 29, or chapter number 29, and then we're going to go backward. In chapter number 29, Job has been in conversation with his three friends, and he's been talking to them about what was in his mind and in his heart. And in chapter number 29, he reverts back to the days before his trial. There's a lot said about Job in the former days before the trial. When we mention Job, many folks' minds go to how he was in tribulation and trial and hardship and all of those things. And my, what a message there is for those that are going through difficulties and how God brought him through all of those things. But also in the book of Job, there's a miraculous message that has to do with Job in the good days, in the days before the trials and the hardships, and how he served God. Amen. Now, it's one thing for you to get laid flat on your back and you can't look anywhere but up, and then you look up. But it's another thing when you've got good health, you've got money, you've got freedom, and yet you look up and you serve God and you give Him your all. Often we'll come into the house of God and we'll give God our troubles and our trials and our burdens and our difficulties, and He's glad to take those. And He said, "Cast in all your care upon Me, for I care for you." But we also need to come and give God our good days. If you're healthy, you're able to sit on a pew, your ears are clear and your head's clear, you're able to have an open heart, receive the Word of God, you go out of here and you can see at night and drive down these old highways, you got a little money in your pocket, you can sit down to T-bone steak and enjoy that, and yet still remember God, still remember His blessings. I think that's as much of a miracle in the book of Job as Job serving God through the trials. And I want to say that there's a lot of folk that get blessed and they forget God. I remember as a little boy watching the Flintstones, and old Barney, he hit it rich. Man, he had like $1 million. And you know, he forgot his friend, Fred, and he forgot all about him, and he was just nothing. And boy, old Barney got all lifted up in pride and everything, you know. And then they came back to him, and they told him it was a mistake. It was given to somebody else, and he's knocked back down there where he ought to be knocked down. But the truth is, there's a lot of folk get a blessing of some sort, and they get dependent on that. The Bible bears out that when Jezron waxed fat, he kicked against God. In the book of Judges, when Israel would prosper, they would forget God, and then God would chasten them and bring them down. They'd remember the Lord, And then they would seek the Lord, and God would bless them again. And then they'd forget God. God would bring them down. And that is a revolving door, and it goes over and over again throughout the Word of God. And tonight I hope that we'll pray that the Lord will help us to have a testimony of serving God in the good days, before the hard days and the evil days come, and they're coming to all of us. But may it prepare us for those days that will come. Now let's look at Job's testimony. Here's what he says about himself. If we call on Job, Job, come around here tonight and testify. Tell us about how it was in the good old days before the trial. Well, in verse number 2, he says, "Oh, that I were as in the months past, as in the days when God preserved me." First of all, Job acknowledges and confesses that there was a hedge about him. He said, "Now all the hedge has been torn down. Satan has took away my family, 10 fresh dug graves on the hill. My health is gone. My wife said, curse God and die. All of my businesses, they are destroyed." But he said, "I had all that because God preserved me." Amen. You know, the old songwriter said, "God hath preserved and made us a nation." And it's the Lord that preserves and puts a hedge about us. We wouldn't be here tonight. We wouldn't be blessed tonight if God didn't hedge us about. There's none of us stronger than the devil or stronger than the powers of hell. But our God hedges His people about. You know, Satan, he wanted to get to Job, but he said, "I can't, God. You put a hedge about me." Well, Job knew that. And before all this book of Job is written and it's all borne out, Job realized and knew that it was God that hath preserved him. Amen. Has God blessed you? Has God helped you? Has God prospered you? Have you been protected? It's not because you're better or worse than other people, but it's because God Almighty hath preserved us and hedged us about. If He takes the hedge about off of me for just a little while, the devil would come in, swarm in, and destroy everything that I've got. And it all could happen in a day. For in the book of Job, the early part, it said, "And there fell a day, and boom, his family is gone. There fell a day, his businesses were gone. There fell a day, and his health was gone." And everything happened that fast because God had a purpose and a plan of pulling the hedge back to show forth His glory in the life of Job. So in the early days, Job said, "I realize that I have been preserved by God." In verse number 3, he said, "When His candle shined upon my head, and when by His light I walked through darkness." He acknowledged the heavenly light of God. Job knew that it was the candle of God that brought him understanding. Job was a man that knew God. He knew the ways of God. He knew that his Redeemer lived. He knew that there would be a latter day upon the earth. Amen. He knew all of those things. And he said, the reason being, God brought His candle to me. A candle is an implement of illumination. And the Bible tells us that our mind and our heart has to be illuminated, that is, light shined upon us in order that we might be saved. Devin, you've been around church quite a bit in your life, but yesterday morning something happened. What happened? The light of God shined upon his heart. And it's almost like that proverbial light bulb goes off. Oh, yeah, I'm lost, and I can be saved. Jesus died for me. And boy, when God turns the light on your soul, what a difference it makes. And you can't see it till God shines the light on you. The Bible says that men grope about in darkness. They're like the blind men down in Sodom, that the angels struck them, and they grasped for the door, and they were blind and they couldn't see. But when God opens up your eyes, it's a divine miracle, and He illuminates the understanding and gives light unto the heart. And Job said, "I know that's why I was able to see, because God shined His candle upon my head." And then in verse 4 he said, "As I was in the days of my youth, when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle." You think about Job, you think about an old man going through trials. But here Job says, "I was a young man. I was a youth. I was a young fella when the Lord saved me by His grace." And he said, "It was in the days of my youth that I knew the secrets of God." You don't have to be old to know the secrets of God, to know the Lord and to walk in His presence. God wants to reveal himself unto young people, just like he does older folk. And you know, a blessing that I've studied hymnology and different things is God has really illuminated a lot of young people. A.J. Gordon found the words of a poem and he put it to music, and the song is, "My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the folly of sin I resign. My precious Redeemer." And he put that to music and all didn't know who wrote it. Years later, he found out that a 14-year-old boy by the name of William Featherstone that lived in Canada wrote that poem. And in some of the other hymn books, you'll see William Featherstone up over it. They acknowledge that he was the writer of that. But when you read through that song and realize that a 14-year-old boy wrote that, you see a 14-year-old boy that had the light of God shined upon his heart. And he said, "In my youth, the Lord gave me the secret of God upon my tabernacle." And by the way, the only way you're going to know God is for God to unveil the secrets of himself. Man by wisdom knew not God. The Bible tells us the natural man received not the things of the Spirit of God. They're spiritually discerned, neither can he know them. But by God's Spirit, he hath revealed these things unto us. Then he goes on to say in verse number five, "When the Almighty was yet with me, when my children were about me." Now he's moved out of the youth and he's a married man now. And he says, "The Almighty was with me and my children were about me." When he hit that middle age spread and he began to have children, the children were about him. And how did he raise his children? He raised them in nurture and in admonition of the Lord. You go back to the first chapter of Job, and it says that Job prayed every day, and he prayed for his children. He said, and he made sacrifice, "Lest my sons have sinned and cursed God in their heart." And I don't know it. Job didn't say, "Couldn't be my son, couldn't be my children." No, he knew his children need to get saved like everybody else is. And Job prayed for his family, and he raised them. Boy, what a blessing, you know, it was to Job to know that he had poured the gospel to those kids, and they all got snuffed out their lives at one time, all 10 of them at one time, and yet to know that they had been taught about the blood and been taught about redemption and salvation. And what an encouragement and blessing it is for us to teach our children the ways of the Lord and the ways of righteousness. Oh, brother, Job was a father that had faith. In verse number 6, "When I washed my steps with butter and the rock poured me out rivers of oil." Now this phrase, "when I washed my steps with butter." I got a friend that it'll really get on, God will bless, or I'll preach a good meeting message or whatever, and he'll say, "Boy, that'll churn buttermilk. Well, to have butter, you got to know how to churn milk. Amen. You don't just get butter. You got to churn that milk and you got to deal with it and you got to go over and over with it. Well, the Bible tells us that we're to desire the sincere milk of the Word of God. Amen. But Job wasn't just drinking sincere milk. Praise God, he'd learned how to churn butter. Amen. And you meditate in the law of the Lord day and night. And you churn that butter and you roll it over and over in your mind and your heart, and you get more out of it than just reading a verse of Scripture. That meditation, the butter and the cream, it rises to the surface. And old Job said, "I know something about butter." Amen. Amen. And then he goes on to say in verse 6, "And the rock poured me out rivers of oil." He knew something about drilling. Amen. He said, "The rocks poured me out rivers of oil." And Job knew something about drilling and getting the hidden secret oil. Boy, thank God for folk that know how to drill. Get in the altar and they pray and they drill till they hit the oil of the Holy Ghost. And God fills their soul, fills their heart, and illuminates their mind. And the sweet Spirit of the Lord communes with our... He said, "I've had a relationship with the Lord, and he poured that oil, that anointing, upon me." Amen. On down in verse number 7. "I went out to the gate through the city and I prepared my seat in the street." He was a man that was a public man that had testimony among men. He didn't hide in a closet somewhere, but he got out among people and he took that word of God. Verse 8, the young men saw me. They hid themselves, and the aged arose and stood up. He was a man that had a testimony of being respected among others. And as God's children, we ought to have a testimony that we're respected. They may not like you. They may not care for you, but they ought to respect you. Amen. They may not believe what you believe, but at least they know you believe what you believe. And you got a testimony, and other people see that. Verses 9, the princes refrained talking and laid their hand on their mouth. The nobles held their peace and their tongue cleaved to the roof of their mouth. The ear heard me, then it blessed me, and when the eye saw me, it gave witness to me. In other words, people around him were saying, yes, Job's a man that has the touch of God on his life, and we're fearful of him because he fears God, and God's got his hand upon him. Amen. In verse number 12, Job said this about his early testimony. I delivered the poor that cried, and the fatherless, and him that had none to help. He was a man that cared about the poor. He was a man that cared about the fatherless, the orphans, and those that had none to help, the down and outers. He was able and willing to help those. The blessing of him that was ready to perish came upon me. He could sing that song, rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. And then he said this, I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. Amen. I read this verse and it always blesses my soul. You can cause a widow's heart to sing for joy. Go by and visit her. Go by and take her out to eat. Go by and get her some groceries. Just pay a little attention. Drop by, pick her up, bring her to the house of God. I know a young lady that goes by and she picked up like four widows for a long time. The widows are all dead now, but she had a big old car and she called it the widow wagon. Amen. And she'd go by and pick them up and bring them to the house of God. And they sat there and that old clock, tick, 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 and the darkness of loneliness just comes in on their heart. But to be a blessing and to cause the widow's heart to sing for joy, we don't want to forget the widows. Then in verse number 14, I put on righteousness and it clothed me. My judgment was as a robe and a diadem. He lived right. I was eyes to the blind. Old Job said, I'd be glad to be a seeing eye dog for the blind man and hold his hand and lead him over there to the house of God. Feet was I to the lame. He provided wheelchairs and beds and all the rest of it to help the lame man get around. He said, I was a father to the poor, and the cause which I knew not, I searched out. Old brother Job was involved in being merciful and helping people. And then in verse 17, he said, I break the jaws of the wicked and pluck the spoil out of his teeth. Job wasn't a wimp. When the devil's crowd come in, he busted their jaws. I mean, he'd bust their heads. Amen. They said about some of those old covenanters, said they wasn't a headbuster like a covenanter when you got on the wrong side of him. During the Revolutionary War, you know, it started down in Greensboro, North Carolina, when old Greeny come in there and shot some innocent men. Jubal Stearns had seen that great move of God. There, that Baptist church had got up to 600 or so, and they started splitting and dividing to get other churches started. And most churches in the southeast owe their roots back to old Jubal Stearns and them folk. But that was a stirred up there, and the Revolutionary War came, and Jubal tried to keep them out of it, but he couldn't. And finally, he said, "Have at it, boys, have at it." And one day, a young man come running into one of those churches. And they were having a service, and the war was drawing close. And he said, preacher, preacher, we're out of paper for wadding for our muskets. We got to have paper for our wadding. Amen. And the old preacher had just got in a big case of Isaac Watts hymnals. And boy, they were really expensive. And he looked at that young man, and he looked at those hymnals, and he looked at the young man, and he looked at the hymnals, and he picked that box up and handed it to him. And he said, give them Watts, boys, give them Watts. Amen. They took Isaac Watts' hymnal, rammed it down the gullet of that barrel to hold the powder and the bullets in there. And praise God, they laid it to them old Brits, and God delivered us as a nation and a people. Ain't nobody going to fight like God's children when they get backed up in the corner. We'd rather let them go. We'd rather have peace. We'd rather have love. But we know what Romans 13 tells us, that there is a government given, and it is for the protection of the people and the safety of the people. And you look throughout the Word of God, and there's Christian principles where we're to take care of our own and not let the devil just come in and run over and rape and rob and pillage. That's not against Christianity. Amen. There's a time for turning the other cheek, but then there's a time to turn their cheek. Amen. And old brother Job, he broke the jaws of the wicked, and he plucked the spoil out of his teeth. They'd done reached him, grabbed the sheep, and he said, uh-uh. And he ripped their jaws open, and he delivered those that were being devoured. Amen. By the devil. He wasn't a wimp, buddy. He had a backbone. Amen. Amen. Verse 18, then I said, I shall die in my nest, which is the hope of all of us, that we can die in our own homes, in our own bed, and multiply our days as the sand. He said, my root was spread out by the water, and the dew lay all night upon my branch. My glory was fresh in me, and my bow was renewed in my hand. Renewed. He knew something about revival. Amen. He knew something about getting discouraged and down and then being renewed and being revived. Amen. And as God's children in the good days, we need to be revived again and again. Wilt thou not revive us again? Amen. Not just one time, but again and again and again. Verse 21, unto me men gave ear and waited and kept silent at my counsel. And after my word they spake not again, and my speech dropped upon them. And they waited for me as the rain, and they opened their mouth wide as for the latter rain. God gave him a hearing. God gave him a word. And it was a final word. And people feared him. If I laughed on them, they believed it not. And the light of my countenance they cast not down. The Lord gave him a rulership position. I chose out their way. And I said, chief, and dwelt as a king in the army, and one that comforteth the mourner. He was a man that had power. And a lot of times, the higher the hill, the barrener the landscape, and the more powerful men are, the more ungodly they are. I don't know about you, but I praise God. I don't use the word proud, but I praise God for our president. Amen. Who went to the UN today. And instead of exalting Islam and cussing America, he stood there and told them, said, hey, you need to quit persecuting Christians. Amen. And we need to have religious freedom around the world. And he stood up for what you and I believe in among all the world leaders. Amen. And while they had those bunch of high school kids out there baited up and brainwashed, global warming and all of that stuff. And that's what they're doing. That's the way the communists took over Russia. They went after those soft-headed kids. Didn't know no better. And then after they got done with them, buddy, they throwed them aside and stomped on them like they do everybody else when they got that governmental power grab. And that's all this climate business is about. It is a religion, and it's wanting the government to run everything from what kind of light bulbs you put in that in the chandelier there to whether you're walking behind a mule with a muffler on him because he's emitting methane gas or whatever. Amen. These are a bunch of nuts, I'm telling you. Fruit, it ain't even Christmas, but there's plenty of fruitcakes running for the Democratic primary, and I never heard such in all my life. Now, you may be an old blue dog Democrat, but I guarantee you, if you're a Christian, you're ashamed of what this new outfit's done. And I'm running into them all over this country, and they say, hey, that ain't the Democrat party my daddy was. No, sir, I don't know nothing about that bunch. They left me a long time ago. Amen. Amen. That's right here in Job 29. Though Job had that test, he said, here's my testimony. Now, let's go ask the world what they thought of Job. Turn back, if you will, please, over to chapter number 4. Chapter number 4, there were three friends that came. And one of them was Eliphaz the Temanite. And he's an outsider now, and he's looking at old Job, and he said, you said, what's Job's testimony, Eliphaz? And he said, well, here it is. Here's what I know about him in verse number 3. Behold, thou hast instructed many. He was a teacher of the ways of God. He didn't just have all this hoarded up knowledge, but he shared that knowledge. And he taught other people. And the Bible tells us in Timothy that we have been taught that we might teach others, that they in turn might also teach others. And we're to be people that mentor others. Somebody took you under their wing. I praise God, Grandma. You got him under your wing tonight. What a blessing. And now one of these days, son, you're going to be able to grow up and have you some young fella under your wing. Say, hey, my grandma bought me the house of God. I heard the gospel. I got saved. Now I want to bring you. You're my buddy. I want to tell you about Jesus. Well, as Job, he said he instructed many. Then Eliphaz said, I watched him. He strengthened the weak hands. Those that needed encouragement. Those that needed a hand up. Those that were down and out. He said, I watched you, Job, and you were a man willing to reach out into other people's lives. It's so easy, especially if you get burnt and you try to help somebody and they turn on you or they stab you in the back or they just spit in your face and walk off and cuss you instead of appreciate it. It's easy to say, oh, all right, if that's the way you're going to be, just fool you on the whole bunch. Forget it. But you can't do that. Neither can I. You got to let that be between them and God. Amen. What's between us and God is whether we do help or not. So thou strengthen the weak hands. Thy words have upholded him that was fallen. The one that was backslid. The one that got out of the will of God. The one that fell flat on their face. Instead of kicking them while they're down, trying to lift them up. Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. Not thinking of ourselves, because lest it be God's grace, that would be us instead of them. And then he said, I noticed this about him. He strengthened the feeble knees, those that needed reinforcement, and their knees were weak and wobbly, and they needed somebody to be there for them. And you got folk that are like that. You know, there are people in this church. They need to be propped up on the leaning side. They're just not going be steadfast if you don't stay after them and you're not there sort of as a crutch and a help to them and an encouragement to them. And this is the outsiders looking at Job saying, here's what I know about Job. What do the outsiders say about us? What would their testimony be if we went down to the workplace or went over to the neighborhood or went to people that we're acquainted with? Folk that were around all the time. And you ask this question, what do you think about them? I was in Inman, South Carolina. Pulled my truck up to the gas station. I was filling up with fuel. Two fellas got out and they were filling up with fuel. And so I just witnessed to them. And I found out they were from up north. And I asked them what they were doing down our way. And they said, oh, we've been over to Seneca Tool. We do business with them, and they do the products that we need. I said, yes, I know the man that owns Seneca Tool, Mike Blackwell. They said, you know Mike? I said, yeah. They said, you know, he's a Christian man. And said, he'll do what he says. Man, they gave him a good report. And that was the outside word of those old fellas. I don't know if they're even saved or not, but buddy, they knew that Mike Blackwell was a Christian man and he did right, and they gave him a good, right there at the gas pump. And you know, everybody's not going to say good of you. And the Bible says, if anybody does, then woe be unto you. Because if you go with God, they're going to put the slam and the evil report, and the fake news is coming after you too. But for them that are real, and those that are righteous, and they do say, hey, yeah, I know them. I know them. One thing about them now, you can shake their hand. I was over in Kenya, Africa preaching, and stay with a guy that is a Muslim. He's a liberal Muslim, him and his wife. And my friend Tony Honeycutt, the missionary over there, had made friends with him years ago. We've been friends a long time. And he's a rich man. And when we go over there, we stay in his they call it his castle, Toby's castle. And he's got a compound wall about it. Man, you talk about crime laden. It is rough there in Kenya. And him and Tony had buddied up and took care of each other, and that's how they became friends. But I was there one time, and he had a new maid. And the reason I noticed it was because everybody has maids over there. You don't pay them much, but everybody has them. And this was a Christian girl out of the church, and she was gone. Somebody else was there. And I said, what happened to her? And He said, oh, said her daddy got sick and she had to go back up north and tend to him and all that. I said, well, did you get your Muslim maid this time? He said, absolutely not. Said, I wouldn't hire one of them under any circumstance. Said, they'll cheat you, they'll beat time, they'll steal from you. I said, well, who'd you get this time? He said, another one of them gals out of that Baptist church down there. Said, they'll be on time, they'll treat you right, and they'll do right. And that was this outsider, lost man's testimony of a Christian girl.
Amen.
Amen. So you got your own testimony. And then you got the world's testimony. But then back up in chapter number 1 of Job, and we got God's testimony. Satan, have you considered my servant Job? Here's God's written testimony, a man in the land of Uz, whose name was Job. He said he was perfect, well-balanced, well-rounded, of a mature characteristic, one that was upright, he walked right among men, one that feared God. And even the devil said, does Job fear God for naught? He knew that Job feared God. And one that eschewed evil, that is, he had a practice of pushing evil away and of doing right. This is God's testimony of him. And he was born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. He was a wealthy man. His substance, 7,000 sheep. He had more sheep than J.P. Stevens has employees for his textile mill. He had 3,000 camels. Camels were the Mack truck of the desert highway. He's in the commercial industry, and I don't know if these were single humpers or double humpers, but either way, he had commercial industry. Then 500 yoke of oxen, that's like having 500 Ford tractors, and 500 she-asses, that's like having 500 John Deere tractors. Amen. He's in the agricultural business. Had 3 great corporations, and he had a household that was very great. And the Bible said that he was the greatest of all the men of the East. But then the Lord said something else about him. Job took time to serve me with all these responsibilities. For the Lord said that he feasted with his sons 7 days a week. Each son had a different supper at their house, and they had time to fellowship and to care about one another. My, what a family relationship they had. And then in verse 5, and it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about, Job sent and sanctified them. He gave them a testimony and a witness, and he gave them a word. He laid the word to them, and he offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be my sons have sinned and cursed God in their heart. Thus did Job continually. Job believed in the blood for salvation. Later on, it's bore out where he said, I know my Redeemer liveth. Redeem means to pay the price, pay the penalty. And when he offered these burnt offerings, he was saying, I believe in the blood of the Messiah that must be shed upon the cross. These folk were not a bunch of dummies. They were not cavemen eating raw meat and dragging their wives around by the hair of the head. They were very educated in the ways of God. He knew about the day spring that would arise. He knew about the coming Messiah, all of those things. And this is God's testimony of Job. Now, what's God's testimony of you and me? We've got our testimony. The world has their view of us. But really the bottom line is, what does God say about us?
Amen.
Let's stand all over the house. Sister's going to come and play a number on the organ tonight. Do you have a testimony that you're saved? Want your heads bowed and eyes closed. How many of you know you're saved tonight? Raise your hand toward heaven. Give God a wave offering. I know I'm saved. All right, you can put it down. If some of you couldn't raise your hand, God wants to save you. Jesus said, him that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out. But you got to come to him and call on him. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You need a doctor? What you going to do? You're going to call him. But you know, they that are sick, they need a physician. They that think they're whole, they don't think they need a physician. Job needed the Lord. He needed redeeming. He needed saving. He didn't know when the dark days were going to come. And what prepared him for the dark days was he got right with God. You're here tonight lost without God. You don't know what's coming. You do know that death's on your trail. And you do know you're going to have to face God. And you know what? You don't have to face Him unprepared. Job was a saved man. God brought him through those trials and blessed him twice as much at the end as at the beginning. And God can save you tonight. God speak to your heart as she begins to play and you need to be saved. And maybe as God's children, we need to just come and pray. We give God our burdens and our heartaches. Why don't we come give Him our blessings? Say, Lord, I want to serve You in the good days. I brought You my bad days, but Lord, I want to serve You and give You my good days. You want to come pray tonight? Come on, as a child of God. Pour your good blessings out before the Lord. Give Him our troubles and trials. Let's ask Him to help us with all these blessings to be able to handle them and be able to serve Him in the time of blessings. You're here lost without God. You that couldn't raise your hand a while ago. God's speaking to you. Why don't you slip out and come? Call on the Lord. Crawl in here by somebody that loves you. Let them pray for you. Ask the Lord to save you. You know you need to be saved. There's a battle going on in your heart right now. Old Job said, I remember the days of my youth when God shined His candle upon me. When the Lord showed me that I was lost and I got saved, He illuminated me. Is God illuminating you tonight? Is God speaking to you tonight? Is the candle of the Lord upon you? Is God dealing with you? You want to come tonight? You come on. Seek the Lord and ask Him to save you by the grace of God. We're going to go to God in prayer. You let the Lord have His will. Let Him have His way in your heart, will you? Don't go out of here like you came. Let's give our blessings to God as well as our burdens. Call on His name. We'll pray. Father, I thank You for Your word.